He was too hip for the room. The word songwriter can apply to many different kinds of people. Barry Manilow is an accomplished songwriter, and he's made more money than God. Basically, he writes songs that make you feel good for a short period of time. Willie, on the other hand, writes songs that may make you think, and some of them will stay with you for a lifetime. Willie is hesitant about giving advice on songwriting. "I will never say anything to discourage a songwriter," he says. "But if you are a real songwriter, nothing I could say would discourage you anyhow. If my opinion could change your mind about being a songwriter, then you really weren't a songwriter to begin with, and I would have done you a favor by making you look for a different career." If a real songwriter happened to hear that I didn't like his work, he would say, "What the hell does Willie Nelson know? Fuck Willie Nelson." We come to see what we want to see in this world. The same song may have a totally different meaning to different people, and the guy who wrote it may have an entirely different interpretation from any of them. Willie says there is no formula for writing songs. You might add to that that there is also no formula for relating to songs or understanding them in any particular way. In my opinion, Call Lijah, the song about the wooden Indian who falls in love, is one of the saddest songs Hank Williams ever wrote. But I saw an old compilation of his work recently that some record company had put together long ago. The album was entitled Call Lijah and Other Humorous Songs. It's a close-to-the-heart personal matter, and it's all in the ear of the beer holder. Sometimes a writer's best work is what is written between the lines. In other words, what the song leaves up to the imagination of the listener. If a song is true for you, Willie says, it will be true for others. In 1969, during the week before Christmas, Willie and Hank Cochran wrote a song that dealt not so subtly with the frustrations he was going through regarding his life and his career. The song was entitled, "What Can You Do to Me Now?" A day or two later, on the night before Christmas Eve, Willie was in Nashville at a party when somebody came up to him and told him that the Ridgetop house had just burned down. Willie rushed home to find, much to his relief, that all of his extended family and all of his animal family were safe. But the house had been destroyed, along with almost everything he owned. He stumbled through the ashes until at last he found an old guitar case, inside of which were 2 pounds of Colombian tea. In the late 60s, there were places you could get life in prison for getting caught with one joint. Perhaps Willie took it as a sign. Perhaps, as he said, he was just feeling like a minnow in a dipper. Whatever the reason, it was time to jump back in the river. When you write a song called "What Can You Do to Me Now?" and almost immediately afterward your house burns down, it would appear that somebody is trying to tell you something. If it was God speaking to Willie, she was only telling him what he'd already been thinking himself. Willie is that rare bird who never bothers to sift the ashes after the fire is gone. He is forever embracing the future, even if it slaps him in the face. Most of the time, it hugs him back. So, he followed in the footsteps of another iconoclastic American hero who'd made the trek almost 150 years earlier. Willie told the Nashville music establishment the same words Davy Crockett had told the Tennessee political establishment. "Y'all can go to hell. I'm going to Texas." This move went deeper than the simple, obvious fact that Willie didn't fit in musically and stylistically with the Nashville sound. The deeper problem was that in the 60s, the good old boy network that was the music establishment was dead set against ever accepting Willie as one of them. They feared and despised his lifestyle, i.e. smoking pot. To the good old boy, Southern Christian, straight-laced, humorless, constipated prigs who ran Music Row, dope was indubitably the devil. Country music, whatever its blessings and faults, would never gather reefer madness unto its collective, commercial, corporate bosom. That, indeed, was at the very heart of the problem. But it would not be a problem in Texas. Like Davy Crockett before him, Willie would walk into history by way of his pilgrimage to Texas. Texas, where even before the music caught up with the ethos, outlaws were celebrated. But Willie did gain some practical wisdom from